Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The word of God from today's Holy Gospel, found in St. John chapter 16. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy." This is God's word. How disappointed are you right now? We've got plenty of those stories, don't we? The seniors who are missing out on prom and graduation, all the end of school year activities that are coming around that they can't do right now. I remember when I was a senior, senior skip day was a thing, and I know it's still a thing because my daughter did it 2 years ago when she was a senior at Kingsford. Everyone in the senior class all agreeing to skip one day towards the end of the school year. Kind of disappointing when every single day is a skip day. Or how about the athletes, college basketball players at some little tiny college who had dreams of making the NCAA tournament and they were dashed because the season was canceled? How about the disappointment of a small business owner forced to close because their work has been deemed not essential? Or the disappointment of someone whose immunity is compromised. They know they just can't go out in public. They can't be around family. They can't be around grandkids. They can't be around those they love because they are at risk for getting sick. Disappointment is everywhere, it seems. I've had my share of that as well. I admit to that. I'm in the same boat. You want to know what I find disappointing? Singing all these hymns by myself and not hearing the voices of the people of God singing with me. I actually went into the nave yesterday, into the sanctuary, and sang a couple hymns by myself just to hear the sounds of hymns bouncing off the walls of our sanctuary, because I miss it. You know, a Christian should not be surprised when this world is disappointing. Many of us have bought into the lies of false teachers. Last week we heard Jesus refer to them as false shepherds or hired hands who mislead the sheep of the good shepherd. Those who proclaim to us that somehow being a Christian means being free from disappointment, being free from sorrow. That is not the case, and Jesus himself reminds his disciples of that in our Holy Gospel for today from John 16. You see, the whole middle of John's Gospel, chapters 13 through 17, take place on Holy Thursday, Maundy Thursday, right before Jesus is arrested and sent to his death. And chapters 14 through 16 are this message of consolation and comfort to his disciples. Consolation over what's about to happen. And so Jesus starts off our text today by saying, "A little while, and you will not see me. And then, yet another little while, and you will see me." What in the world is Jesus talking about? That's what the disciples wanted to know. Well, there's actually two possible answers for this. Obviously, he was talking first and foremost about his death. His body would be laid into a tomb, and then in a little while, 3 days, and then they would see him. He would rise again to life. But there was another little while when his disciples would not see him. On the 40th day, he would ascend into heaven because he tells us he goes to his Father. And we're still in that little while right now. where we don't see Jesus. We hear him. We receive him. He's here with us, but we don't see him like the disciples saw him. We don't see him in his glory. We don't gaze upon his wounds like Thomas did when we heard that 2 weeks ago. We don't hear his invitation to put our finger in the wounds in his hands, to touch the wounds in his feet, to reach out our hands and place them in his side where the spear pierced him. We don't see him. We're in that little while. And Jesus reminds us that that little while is a time of sorrow. It's a time of sadness. It's a time of disappointment. So, you and I, dear friends in Jesus, we should expect exactly what we're going through right now. Is it disappointing to not be worshiping like we normally do? Is it disappointing to be told to stay in our homes? Is it disappointed to not be able to go where we please and do what we would like to do? Of course it is. And dear friends in Jesus, why would you expect anything less? Because a world where you can't see Jesus is a world of sorrow. It's a world that fills our hearts with sorrow and causes the world around us to rejoice. Make no mistake about it, there are those who are thrilled that we as the church can't do what we normally do. That pastors can't visit people in nursing homes or shut-ins in their homes and bring them Christ's body and blood. That Christians can't shake one another's hands in fellowship and greeting. That they can't sit next to one another in church pews and kneel together at a rail. That we're filled with a sense of disappointment and dread, perhaps even fear. What did you expect? That's the way it is in this little while. But of course, as Jesus reminds us, we are those who will know joy. Your sorrow, Jesus reminds us, will turn into joy. Because we are not left forever without seeing Jesus. He is indeed, as we've been saying throughout this Easter season, he is risen. He lives. And because he lives, we will see him again. He will come again after a little while to his church. Thanks be to God. He will come to us, his people, living in the middle of sorrow and dread, and their sorrow will be turned into joy on that day when our Lord Jesus Christ returns to his church. Because he is indeed risen. He does indeed live in his body. And we know that he will come again. Maybe you have doubt about that. Maybe you think the sorrow and disappointment in this world are set to consume us for the rest of our lives, and then we'll die and that will be it. Except we know that that's not the case. We know that Jesus will come again. Why? Because he's risen from the dead. And we know that he has risen from the dead. You might not know this because it's not common to hear people talk this way, and perhaps we as the church need to learn better how to do this. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is one of the most easily provable events of ancient history. Now, you'll find a bunch of scholars, so-called theologians, so-called shepherds of the church who will deny that Jesus is truly risen from the dead. It's funny how Christians are often the ones that are labeled as closed-minded because we dare to believe in the Word of God. that doesn't allow you to do whatever you want, live however you want, and pick your own pet sin and adopt it as your cause or your purpose. We're called close-minded for actually believing what the Word of God says. The reason people don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ is because they're too closed-minded to believe that dead people can live once again. Once again. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is easily the most provable event of 2,000 years ago. No one questions whether Alexander the Great in the 3rd century blitzed across the ancient world at lightning speed and conquered more of the ancient world that had never been held at one point. No one doubts whether Herod the Great rebuilt the temple in Jerusalem and built it up with beautiful, magnificent stones. No one doubts whether Caesar Augustus ordered a census around the time that Jesus would have been born. Yet there's more proof that Jesus rose from the dead than any of it. Why? We have eyewitness testimony. The gospel authors wrote it down. St. Paul wrote it down. Because they were witnesses of the risen Lord. And they were willing to die. And in almost every case, they did die. For the testimony that Jesus Christ lived in his body. You don't die for a fraud story. You don't die for something that's been made up. And yet they did. And their testimony has been preserved for us today. So we know that Jesus is risen from the dead. But because we know he's risen from the dead, we know this as well, that our Lord Jesus Christ keeps his word. He told his disciples, "A little while and you will not see me, and then yet another little while and you will see me again." And they did. He appeared to them on Easter evening and said, "Peace be with you." He kept his word. So we know that he will keep his word to come to us again. The one who died for us and rose for us is the same one who ascended into heaven from us to reign at his Father's right hand for us. As he even dwells with us in word and sacrament here and now. And he will keep his promise in a little while to come again for us. To us people filled with sorrow and disappointment and sadness in this world. We have joy, dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Because Jesus is risen and Jesus keeps his word. We are in the little while. That little while could end in our own lives, or it could end after we've been lowered into the ground ourselves, buried as Christ was buried. But he is the Lord who is faithful to his word to come for his church and to replace all of our sorrow with joy. Jesus compares our sorrow right now to something that so many of us are familiar with. He compares it to childbirth. Of course, I'm not familiar with childbirth itself. I've only been on the witnessing end of it. I've seen the birth of my own children. But I think it's safe to say, and those of you who have gone through that yourselves can attest the truth of this, and I do believe it is true, and what Jesus says is accurate. That even though the giving birth of a child and bringing a child into the world is a time of sorrow and anguish and pain and suffering, that the moment that child is born and placed into its mother's arms, That mother knows the most profound sense of joy ever imagined. And despite what she has just gone through, all of her anguish and sorrow and pain and suffering is completely replaced by the most unspeakable happiness, joy, and celebration that one can know in this life. And I know that many of you here this morning who are mothers have experienced that yourselves. It's a perfect illustration that Jesus sets before us today. We are in that time of sorrow. And God forgive us for our ignorance and thinking we should expect anything else. But sorrow is not all that exists for the people of God. Sadness and disappointment is not all that exists for you and me. Because Jesus Christ is risen. He has buried our sins with him in the tomb and risen to life. He reigns at his Father's right hand, comes to us in his word, in his supper, in the waters of our baptism, and he will come again for us. Because he keeps his word. He will do, dear friends in Jesus, exactly what he has said. What has put disappointment in your heart today? What has filled you with sorrow? Hear this. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. He lives. Because he lives, we live. Because he lives, we find joy in the middle of this little while, in the middle of the sorrow of this world. We know the joy that Jesus lives. The victory is won. Life has been won for you and for me and all who are in Christ. Thanks be to God. We are not alone in this life of sorrow, in this life of disappointment. For we have a Savior, a Shepherd, a Lord, a God who lives and lives for you and me and lives to bring life. Dear brother and sister in Christ, all of you who are out there this morning and can hear the sound of my voice, take heart. Your sorrow will be turned into joy. Though the world may rejoice at our sorrow now, it is but a little while. Jesus lives. Thanks be to God. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.